Welcome to show number 48 of the Sports Card Show, brought to you by sportscardradio.com. Hello and welcome to the program, everybody. It's great to have you here today. We've got quite a bit to talk about. Topps Finest Baseball comes out next week, and it's an interesting set, so we'll have a segment talking about that. And for basketball collectors, 2009 and 2010 Panini Classics Basketball comes out right at the end of the month, so we'll be talking about that. And for you football collectors, we'll talk about Exquisite Collection on the next show, so you'll definitely want to tune in then. Some exciting news is for our baseball box break, should be happening very soon. Won a mini box of 2009 Bowman Sterling Baseball. It has two hits, two autographs, and I think a USA jersey in there. So three total hits and some other nice cards. There's some pretty cool cards in there. It came out, I believe, in January, that set. And it kind of spurred a segment for today's show that we'll have my brother on for. And it's basically covering about how that product is broken down as a mini box product. And you buy it either by the full box, where you get six little individual, they call them packs, but they're little mini boxes. And you can either buy it that way, or you can buy it like we did and just buy the little mini box and still feel pretty good. You're getting basically a mini box. You're getting, you know, three hits, which is more than a lot of products these days. So interesting way to for collectors that sell on eBay, and for those of you that are looking to maybe go into that market or maybe capitalize a little bit more if you're selling on eBay already, definitely a segment that you want to tune into. Gives you an example. We're not talking huge money. Don't go buy a new house or go finance that Lamborghini you've always wanted, but we're talking about, you know, small amounts of money. But when you're only spending, I say only, $100 and $160, and you can get somewhere in the range of 10 to 15% return, that sometimes is pretty good online. So we'll talk about that. And that's about what we have on today's show. So after this very short break, we'll have a nice little segment on Topps Finest Baseball and the kind of cards and everything that you'll be able to find in that set. All coming up after this. And we are back. It's time to talk a little bit about Topps Finest Baseball. I guess one of the more distinctive sets that Topps puts out during the season. Topps Series 1 has been fairly similar the past several years. Not that that's a bad thing, but you're looking at, you know, white bordered cards and some full photos and stuff. And Topps Finest tends to give you a little bit different experience. Some more graphics and shinier gloss and some interesting card stock and things like that. And they've played around in the past with those little peel off things, and I'm not really sure what the purpose of those were, but to annoy collectors on whether or not they should peel them off or not. So they've kind of done away with that, although I think interesting things like that do make the hobby exciting. So maybe they should bring the peel back for maybe like an insert set or something. But they didn't do that for 2010 Topps Finest Baseball. And I would say that this set is not for everyone. I did give it an overall grade of 3. It's not really a grade of how good the product is. It's really for like a collector profile, and that, you know, a 5-star rating is meant to kind of target almost any collector of that sport. Whereas a 3, it's definitely for the more collector that's kind of looking for certain things and certain types of things in products. And Topps Finest definitely delivers on the rookie cards and like Letterman patches and things like that, because in each 12-pack hobby box, each hobby box has 12 packs, but it's broken down just like we'll talk about Bowman Sterling in a little bit. This is a mini box product. It used to be 3 with a box loader. Now it's 2 with no box loader. And you get 5 cards per pack. So each mini box has 6 packs. Well, each of those mini boxes has 1 autograph rookie Letterman patch. And the checklist is fairly interesting, but it's fairly small. So you've got I think if you really went crazy and were busting cases of this stuff, you're going to get quite a few multiples, although with the Letterman patches, obviously there's different letters that are used and there's some collectability there. And so I think that's what maybe Topps is banking on here. And per one per hobby, so you get actually two of those Lettermans per hobby box, one per mini box. Well, one per hobby box, so one of the mini boxes in there is going to have a rookie card redemption. And these tend to be very popular with collectors because Topps kind of ties this in with the whole season. And this is one of the products that I actually think they do a good job of kind of prolonging the product, maybe longer than what Upper Deck stated. We talked about a few weeks ago is the first, you know, 2 weeks or the first 60 days of a product where it kind of lives and dies. Whereas these redemption cards keep Finest kind of current because during the season, they will announce 10 rookies that they will redeem for each one of these cards. And each card is going to have a number on it, 1, 2, all the way to 10. So the first player that they will announce will be associated with one of those numbers. So you'll be able to find out during the season who you're going to be able to redeem that card for. You can always roll the dice. These are another one of those cards that bring up debate. Do you sell the card before you even know who's going to be on there? Because if it turns out to be a not-so-collectible player, especially amongst the 10, maybe that might be a good chance, especially if one of the 10 might be a very hot prospect. You never know what 10 it's going to be. So Topps kind of does them in random order. So on purpose, I guess. So there's some speculation and things like that. So those are very interesting. Those are one per hobby box. But like, let's get back to these rookie Letterman patch autographs. Again, one per mini box. There's quite a few refractor parallel versions. Although these aren't your standard Topps Finest cards, there's obviously a huge window where the card, the Letterman patch can fit. And the cards are autographed on Letterman patch, so it kind of makes up for the fact that these are not game worn, because there's no way they're going to get Buster Posey to wear 10,000 jerseys. I doubt it took that many. But these are full Letterman pieces, so they had to get quite a few pieces of these letters. Refractor versions are parallel out of 75. There's a blue refractor out of 25. Gold refractors are out of 10. Red refractors are out of 5. Purple is 1 of 1. And there are 4 1-of-1 printing plates of each card. So kind of your stock Finest one card with about 6 different parallels. But it actually makes for some solid collectability on some of these rookie cards. Of this list, these are guys with rookie status, so they will have had to play at some point last season. Madison Bumgarner and Buster Posey, being a Giants fan, are the guys that pop off on the top of my list. Tyler Colvin, Daniel McCutcheon, and Eric Young Jr., and Michael Brantley. There's some names I recognize here, but definitely not some of the most premier and most collected rookies, aside from maybe Bumgarner and maybe a little bit of Posey. Those are definitely going to be your two biggest hits. So I think if you're a Giants fan, busting a box of this might actually be kind of fun, because you've got a good chance at maybe getting one of them. But if you're not a Giants fan, or if you're a fan of one of these other players, chances are you'd be much better at looking at the secondary market for these cards. And maybe Finest is banking on that the secondary market for these Letterman autograph cards is going to be somewhat strong. And they do look nice. I think these cards will look nice. It's not like they stand out above any other Letterman patch product, but they do look nice, probably a little bit better than the Razor Letterman product that had quite a few of these players in there. But I like this stuff, and I think definitely if you're one of the fans of these rookies, they'll definitely probably see some time. I know the Giants guys are going to see some time this year, and I'm sure many of these other guys on this list are seeing time as well if they played last season. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how they sell on the secondary market. But basically what I was going to say is, if you're really shooting for only one of the rookies, you're better off just buying it on its own from online, or trading it with a friend that happened to get one or something like that. Trading on the forums is often a good place to go as well if you can't buy online, or if you don't want to buy online. And I think there's going to be plenty of these floating around there. So you're going to be able to find the player you want, and you're not going to have to drop $100. I doubt many of these cards, aside from the refractor parallels, are going to be $100 cards. So you might as well save yourself a little bit of money there. But there is some excitement to busting box, because there are several cards that are going to be $100 cards out of that rookie list, because they new for 2010 Topps Finest Baseball. And it's not necessarily new technology, but I love this. Absolutely love this insert, and kind of wish they were more than 1 of 1s. but I can understand that these cards possibly are hard to make. They're definitely hard to disguise inside the packs. It's basically a fold-out book card of the entire player's Letterman patches, and they're all autographed. The one I have here is Posey, and so it's five letters long, so it's a five fold-out card with his name spelt out, and each letter is autographed. Now, I'm not sure if they do the same thing for Madison Bumgarner, considering his name's rather long, and McCutcheon. That'd be quite a fold-out card, so I'm not exactly sure. I don't have pictures or any confirmation of how those cards are manufactured, but you're more than likely going to get at least a five-way fold-out with each letter autographed, and these are one of one, so the checklist is small. You're only looking at a 20-card checklist, so your odds of getting them are fairly slim. But if you're a big spender, or if you're really into some of these rookies that are on this checklist, then you're definitely going to want to check these out. And I keep referring to the checklist. If you head on over to sportscardradio.com, you find our product review section in the sports card directory, or there's also a product reviews little menu button, I guess you call those, on the top of our website. So you'll be able to find product reviews there. And in the sports card directory, I have the complete checklist of Topps Finest Baseball, all the checklists, the complete cards, the parallels, pictures of the cards. So if you're interested in this product, you want to find out a little bit more, if you want to know a little bit more about what we're talking about on today's show, that's basically what I'm going over today. So we have the Extra Factor signed book cards. Those are nice. Those are a new addition, but since there's only 20 of them in the product, don't expect to get one of those from the box. And if you do, you're very lucky and you have a very nice card. Now on to the other autographs, another fairly small checklist here, the Finest Moments autograph cards. There's a red parallel out of 25 and a purple parallel number to one of one. And these are your standard top sticker autograph. In fact, the sticker looks like it's the one they've been using for a while, although it looks like it's cut maybe slightly differently. So it might be more current autographs, or these may be kind of a stock of something they've had in the past. And by the looks of the names on here, no one really pops out of me huge. Obviously, with names like Ryan Braun, Prince Fielder, Manny Ramirez, Ryan Howard, and David Wright, that's really good. And that, since it's a small checklist, you do have a decent shot at pulling a nice autograph. Hanley Ramirez is in here, Gordon Beckham. I take that back. This checklist is rather nice. There's some rather duds. I mean, compared to those players, a Tommy Hansen, maybe even a Troy Tulowitzki at this point, Clayton Kershaw, some of those. Chone Figgins might not be as desirable as like a CC Sabathia and some of these other guys on here. So the Finest Moments autographs, I have a feeling there's no print run or any kind of odds for these, but more than likely you're going to hit the rookie Letterman autograph patch, and you're going to hit one of these Finest Moments cards on somewhat regularity. But with this checklist, guys like Manny Ramirez, there's not going to be huge amounts of those floating out there. Ryan Braun, this is pretty good. I would feel good about getting one of these Finest Moments cards, possibly over one of the rookie autographs, because I could feel like I could get a Manny Ramirez autograph, I could get a nice David Wright or a Ryan Braun or maybe even a Hanley Ramirez, and get that over some of these rookies that maybe aren't very established. And even if I wanted them, I could go up and probably pick up their Letterman autograph for a fairly affordable price, where as a Hanley Ramirez autograph and a Ryan Braun, especially once the season starts and these guys start playing, and those are some of the young players in the league that are really going to start taking over that next step as the Derek Jeters and the A-Rods start taking that step. Not to say that they're taking the step out the door, they just won a World Series, but they are some of the more veteran players in the league among many others. And these younger guys that were drafted in the early 2000s, these are the guys that are going to be the veteran stars that everybody going to want to collect. So I like those. The base set is 125 cards deep of veteran players. Again, you have your wide spectrum of refractor parallels here. The regular refractors are at a $6.99. Blue refractors are at a $3.99. Green refractors, I like those, at a $99. Gold refractors at a $50. Red refractors are at a $25. And purple is this year's one of one. So you'll be able to find those. There is a rookie card set that are non-patch variation autograph, but they do have a patch variation numbered out of 50 of these. and you'll be able to find several of these rookies here that are not came in, that are not contained in the autograph patch rookie set, serial number to 299 or less that we described earlier. What's a box going to set you back? Probably right around $100, especially right as the time you're listening to this. This product comes out March 24th, so about a week from now. And you're going to pay probably about that amount right in the beginning, and it'll take maybe a few days for the market to settle and see how much these cards are selling for on the secondary market, because if the majority of these rookies aren't selling in the $40 to $50 range, which I think is what it's going to have to take to get these mini boxes selling in that $50 range, then you might see it come down a little bit. I don't see a product like this going up, although last year's Topps Finest made it onto our recommended products page, somewhat surprisingly, but it was a well-received product, and maybe this year's could be somewhat of a sleeper again. I'm not really sure. Just based off the checklist and these rookies, I think collectors might be even more excited about a 2010 Bowman release, which has Steven Strasburg, Aroldis Chapman, and guys like that, and some guys that people haven't even seen. I know we talked about some guys on the show actually it was two shows ago on show 46, where we talked about MLB prospects, and there was a prospect on there that didn't have cards. So a set like Finest, not typically known for breaking doors on putting out exclusive rookies or first rookies. Topps tends to let the Bowman products do that and handle that. So we'll see how Topps Finest turns out. Monitor it. See the price. Remember, it's about $100 a box. I highly doubt that something like this will go much higher than that. So I don't think you're too bad off waiting if you want to wait and see if you can maybe scoop it for like $80 to $90 or $80 to $95. Save yourself $5 or $6, which, you know, might not seem like a whole lot, but if you're buying 30 or 40 boxes over the course of a year, or maybe even only 10, if you save $5 to $10 on each one over the course of the year, it does save you a lot of money. So might be something to keep in mind. Remember, you can check out the full checklist and some pictures, actually some really nice pictures of all these cards that we talked about today. And if you're interested in completing the set, this is a top set that's really obtainable. It's not the 500 card, 1,000 card sets that Heritage and Topps Series 1 and Topps Series 2 tend to be, although that makes those sets really fun to collect. A set like this is very compact and really tight. Obviously, if you're trying to bust boxes to complete the set, it's going to run you a huge fortune, but it'd be better off to look for the base cards in large lots on eBay and online and things like that, and you can pick up these autograph patches, some a little bit more expensive than others. But I think in the long run, this is a set that if you would like to put together a 2010 set that's actually obtainable in terms of card number wise and more than likely affordability, this is a top set that you might want to take a look at. So the complete checklist is there if you're interested in doing something like that. Well, after this short break, basketball collectors have been getting lots of love, and since we're in the heat of March Madness basketball season and we're in the stretch run of the NBA season, we might as well keep talking about basketball, and we'll definitely be mixing it in over the course of the rest of the year. Although with the NFL draft and baseball starting, right when basketball heats up, the two other sports tend to kind of squash it in terms of PR value, but we'll definitely keep the basketball love going, and we'll talk about Panini Classics basketball after this. And we are back. Time to talk a little bit about Panini Classics basketball. And this product actually reminds me a little bit about what we talked about on the last show, Panini Studio Basketball. Similar products, I mean, obviously different in terms of their configuration and things like that, but in terms of the value and things like that you get from the box, they're very similar. So I think if you're looking for a brand new Panini product, I think you can kind of compare these head-to-head and then make your decision there. Although, I will preface this review, this is not meant to get you from not maybe going out and checking out this product, because I definitely think it's worthy, especially if you're a basketball fan, and obviously if you're a Kobe fan and some of these rookies that are out in the NBA right now, it's obviously you're out there collecting just about every set. But if you want to get a sneak preview, we'll obviously talk about all this on the show down the road, but if you want to get a sneak peek at Panini basketball products, I have Absolute Memorabilia complete checklist and preview up. Timeless Treasures is an interesting product. Court Kings is a very cool product, a product that I'm pretty pumped up about, it just kind of to take a look at the cards and see how well they pull it off, is Panini Crown Royale basketball. So that comes out all throughout the rest of the season. This actually, Panini Classics, if you're kind of that mid-budget, if you like lots of packs and lots of cards in your product, this might be this and Panini Studio and some of the Panini products of the past might be what you want to go for, because Timeless Treasures and Court Kings, these are one pack products. Absolute Memorabilia is a four pack product, I believe, and with one hit per pack. And even Panini Crown Royale is a very limited product with per pack hits and things like that. So what's coming forward for Panini is a little bit more higher end. We're not jumping to the Exquisite or the National Treasures kind of like multiple hundreds of dollars for a box, but we're jumping into that upwards of $100. So a couple of those products are one pack products where it's going to run you $100. So we're looking at $100 for a pack. So if you like lots of cards, like opening up lots of packs, something like this might be good, because going forward from here on out for Panini, at least from what they've released, there's not going to be a product, at least in the pipeline, for the next month or two that's going to deliver lots of cards in a box. So to preface that, Panini Classics Basketball has 18 packs per box, and you get 5 cards per pack. You're going to get 4 hits, and I say that in quotes because there's plenty of other nice cards in here. You get 4 autographs or jersey cards per box, with at least one of them being an autograph. You're going to get 3 Legends cards. This is Panini Classics, and they did a great job, as I think they've done throughout the whole season, incorporating older players, Hall of Fame players. If you're, 14, 15, 16-year-old, you might not recognize some of these players, guys that I grew up idolizing. You might not even know who Mitch Richmond is and guys like that. So we'll talk about some of the legends that are contained in Panini Classics. There's some nice stuff. And you get quite a few other insert cards. In terms of the base set, I actually like the look of the base set. Again, I've got a full checklist here. I'm kind of going off that, kind of checking out the cards that I have pictured here. I have Brandon Jennings on. I think it's an on-card autograph. Very nice cards, little white border with some dark logos. I think these stand out. They look nice. Then there's multiple parallels, as Panini's known to do, as they kind of mirror what Donruss did. There's always kind of different kind of parallels through each set. So we'll see what happens here, but there's gold and platinum and silver that tend to be the 3 levels of parallels. And there's also prime jerseys and prime swatch materials, and we'll talk about those. It's a 200 card base set with the rookies and legends included. It's a pretty nice set. Some of the legends that are included are Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Bernard King, Rex Chapman, that's a good one, Hakeem Olajuwon, you've got your Larry Birds, Rick Barry, Magic Johnson, Patrick Ewing. There's quite a few guys in here. Sleepy Floyd. What I like is there's even some names that I don't recognize, probably because they go back into maybe the 70s and 60s NBA eras where I wasn't even born yet. So some of these names I don't recognize, but you recognize a lot of the names from the 80s, like Scottie Pippen and guys like that. So I like that they mix those in, and we'll talk about more of those here in a little bit. One of the more interesting insert sets is the Classic Confrontations, and these are front and back cards with a pairing of two guys that they feel had classic confrontations at some point in their careers. And I think some of the veteran ones are obvious, and I think they did a pretty good job with Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, Earl Monroe and Walt Frazier, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Willis Reed, James Worthy and Robert Parrish, I guess so, although I'm not sure about that one. Kobe Bryant and LeBron James, that's a really good one in terms of the current ones. Dirk Nowitzki and Tim Duncan, I can definitely see that. Chris Paul and Dwayne Wade, I guess, have some kind of rivalry going, although Chris Paul is having trouble getting on the basketball court. Kevin Garnett and Shaquille O'Neal, I don't really see that. I've never really seen those two go head-to-head. I've seen Shaq really take shots at Dwight Howard and many other centers over the course of his career. Jason Kidd and Steve Nash, I kind of like that since they've played on each other's teams. And Jerry West and Oscar Robinson are some of the combos you can find in here. The best cards in these are going to be the Prime Jersey Swatch that are going to be numbered out of 50 or less. And I actually have a picture of the Magic Johnson and Larry Bird Prime Swatch, and they both have, the Magic Johnson is a 3-color and the Larry's a 2-color. So those are really nice cards, and probably the best cards are going to be the Prime Jersey autographs numbered out of 25 or less. So be on the lookout for those. Obviously, with a set like this, when you read the checklist, Panini doesn't break it down and tell you which cards are autographed, but you can draw some conclusions. A guy like LeBron James is not signing for Panini. So that Kobe Bryant card, I don't know. Once this product comes out, it'll be interesting to see if they come out with a Prime Jersey autograph or maybe just Kobe signed it. And that would be a nice touch by Panini. If they can't get both players to sign it, which I can totally understand, it'd be nice to see one autograph on there. Classic Greats is another insert set that has pretty much all, it's actually all retired players, which I guess hence the name Classic Greats. You're going to find materials and autographs in here. The sets highlight two players that I am not particularly familiar with, although I know them by name, Bill Sharman and Hal Greer. I can imagine our younger listeners probably have no idea who those basketball players are. But this is a set, if you're a Boston Celtics fan or a Los Angeles Lakers fan, obviously those teams have some of the richest history, have the richest history in basketball in terms of players. So James Worthy, Jerry West, Kareem, Magic Johnson, Kevin McHale, Larry Bird, and there's quite a few other players. Robert Parrish, there's a lot of Bill Russell. I mean, this is almost all Lakers and Celtics with a few other players mixed in. So that's a pretty interesting set. I think if you're a fan of one of those teams, it might be nice to collect all the classic greats and get all the Lakers in there or all the Celtics, because there's quite a few of them in there. Classic combos, dual player cards, these are kind of cool. Definitely the ones with the jerseys and the prime jerseys are definitely going to be cool. Another combo card, these I don't believe are front and back. I believe both cards, it appears to me, I have a Tim Hardaway and Alonzo Mourning, both with really nice, I don't know if this is an actual card, but both with really nice prime Miami Heat pieces of jersey cut out on there. So very nice card. It's nice to see them include a player like Tim Hardaway that doesn't get used enough, probably in today's set, and a guy like Alonzo who's still probably fairly relevant in most collectors' eyes. John Stockton and Karl Malone are on here. Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars. These are kind of your pairings that you can think of. They have Kobe paired with Lamar Odom, and I think I would have put him with Shaq. But they have LeBron James with Shaq, Kevin Garnett with Paul Pierce. They obviously wanted to do teammates here. They have Dwayne Wade with Jermaine O'Neal. Some nice sets. They have Bill Russell with the previously mentioned Bill Sharman. That's kind of an interesting card thrown in there. And Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler is another nice card in there. So that's actually a very nice set, especially the autograph cards. There are no autograph cards. There's only the jersey cards. Those are worth taking a look at. They're going to be numbered out of 199 or less, and there's prime jerseys numbered out of 50 or less. So those are definitely worth taking a look at. Two more sets here. Dress code. These are current and former NBA players. I couldn't really figure out what maybe Panini's idea on the set lineup here. Seemed like maybe it was just players that they had some jersey pieces of and things like that. But there's also some signature prime material parallels and just some plain autograph cards of these. And they appear to be stickers, so if you're kind of into on-card autographs, I don't know if all of them, but the picture I have here of David Lee, it's the prime signature material. It appears to be sticker, but obviously numbered out of 25 or less. Really nice jersey. Nice card if you're a David Lee fan. I don't see how the sticker could take away much from that card. But Mitch Richmond's in this set. Nene, Carlos Boozer, Dwight Howard's in here. LeBron and Kobe are in here. Alex English, another former NBA player that not a lot of people might recognize. Samuel Dallenberg makes it into this set. So some interesting names. I see some Golden State Warriors. Eric Dampier is on here. So some interesting names in this set. Mark Price. And that's what I kind of like about this set is there's some names mixed in, like Ronnie Cicely and just some random legends that you just haven't heard from a while. And this next set had a guy that I hadn't thought of in a while. It actually has Nick Van Exel in it. And this is Blast from the Past, former NBA player jersey cards. And this is a set that is all jersey cards. It's not like this. Pretty much every set I described to you earlier, you're going to be able to find a base card, and then you're going to be able to find a cutout window with the jersey, and then you're going to be able to find a card with an autograph and a jersey and things like that, or just an autograph. So that's fine the way Panini sets it up, but I like sets like this that are strictly a jersey card set, and there's no other base parallel that kind of parallels it and looks like it. There's signature autograph parallel versions, numbers 25 or less. There's prime jersey material. So when I say prime, I'm talking about the nicer cuts off the numbers and the logos and the lettering and things like that. Those are numbered to 99 or less. And there's autograph prime jerseys, which are obviously the big money hits, and those are numbered out of 25 or less. And I love it that number 11, Nick Van Exel, is in here, because this is a player, when I was a kid, I thought was going to be the next John Stockton or something like that. I really loved Nick Van Exel and had quite a collection of him, so it's cool to see them using here. And it's weird being of age, being a kid, and remembering when he was a rookie, and now I'm talking about him as a former player, and now he's in Blast from the Past Panini Classics basketball. So I guess I've gotten quite old. Sean Kemp is in here. Reggie Lewis, that's another name. He had a very short career. He died when I was very young. I think he only played 2 or 3 years in the NBA. I believe he collapsed on the court, not during an NBA game, but maybe during a practice or a training or something, and he passed away very early in his career. Charles Oakley is in here, Kevin Willis, Chuck Person, Del Curry. These are all the guys in the early 80s or 90s that you really were excited to collect. Karl Malone, John Stockton, Glenn Rice was hot for a while. Anthony Hardaway was as hot as Dwayne Wade was at one point in his career. Adrian Dantley. There's lots of cool names on here. This is a cool set. Definitely would be interesting to see how these cards. I can't imagine none of these players are huge in terms of hobby love, aside from maybe the Karl Malones and the Clyde Drexlers and John Stocktons. But it will be interesting to see some of these former players that a lot of us that are my age and a little bit older really remember in terms of basketball collecting, because this is when cards were blowing up and they were pumping them out the door faster than Lear jets fly through the air. So a box of this is going to set you back around $100. And we'll see where that holds. I can, with the amount of packs in here and with the amount of hits, $100 seems right in line with about what you're paying with most products. These days have you paying, it seems like, right around $20 to $25 a hit. If you kind of average out what you're paying at a full retail price, and when I say hits, an autograph or a jersey, typically you're paying about $20 to $25 a hit. If you're paying a little bit less than that, you might be getting somewhat of a decent deal. If you're paying more than that, chances are it's loaded up with base cards and hopefully some larger, higher-end hits that make that premium worth it. So a set like this might be worth taking a look at. Again, most of Panini's later season product, including Absolute Memorabilia, Court Kings, Timeless Treasures, Crown Royal Basketball, I'm sure they'll have maybe just a handful, maybe only one or two more products. I'm not really sure. Seems like this is at least 13 or 14 that they've released info on. I think that's right around the number that they wanted to keep it at. And they also have their new Panini Adrenaline game. And we might as well keep the Panini basketball talk going here. I was going to wrap up that review, but that basically wraps up Panini Classics. Definitely worth taking a look at. Again, if you want the complete checklist, we have all that for you, including pretty much every checklist for Panini, and we will have that up shortly. But for all the future products that come out in the next few months, we have all those checklists and things like that up. So if you're interested in kind of taking a sneak peek at what's coming ahead, you can do that over at sportscardradio.com. But I was interested in this Panini Adrenaline game because my brother wrote a blog piece on our blog, and it talked about how Panini invested quite a bit of money into this Adrenaline game. And I kind of was interested to see where this money went. And I kind of saw some of the designs. I don't know if I was on Facebook or Twitter. I started seeing designs of the cards and people giving away codes and things like that. So it started getting me interested. And I noticed the cards were very well designed, in my opinion. Not that I'm like really in love with the set design. And I think they're a set that Panini should continue to go forward with, but I'm saying that it looks like they really paid someone to sit down there and really mess around on Photoshop to lay out some intricate designs, which you don't always see throughout all products. I mean, they're carrying over a lot of designs half the time. So some nice, interesting, unique looking designs. So they're spending some money there, and I went to their website, got signed up, and got some free codes and did some things and got a free pack on there and everything. Got Kobe in one of the packs. These are all virtual cards, so we're not talking about physical cards here. But went to their website, and the website's slick. Panini Adrenaline, they spent a lot of money. They paid either one person or a team of people that spent quite a few hours designing that, because the code base it's designed on, sure, I mean, if you're an expert in that, it goes a lot faster, but just in my experience, I mean, websites designed custom, like little games and stuff designed in Flash, do take a little bit of time, and there's always kind of little bugs that they have to work out. In fact, they said that they're kind of testing the game, and it's not really out for complete public consumption as of right now, but it's a pretty slick little game. I could see how it might get a little redundant, and maybe hopefully they can add little pieces to the Flash software to make it a little bit more exciting. So we'll see what happens, but I thought it was kind of interesting. Panini Adrenaline, they spent a lot of money on it to try to attract younger kids. And in a future show, we'll talk about, and I think we've already actually talked about it on the show, where how I think that's a total mistake. You really shouldn't go after the kids. The kids aren't your customers per se. Sure, they might spend some money here and there, but you know, I'm sure our 13 and 14 years old know. And we actually had Nick on last week that said, hey, he's a high school kid, you know, trying to make a little bit of income. It's tough, especially when people with college degrees are having tough time getting a job, especially if you're not 18 and you don't have a high school diploma. It's really tough having money. So these kids, we're talking about a huge economy, but not the economy on the grand scale of the 30 somethings and the 20 somethings that spend money on cards, because these guys are the ones buying the $1,000 cards and the $500 boxes and the $1,000 cases and things like that. I think those are your customers, and all those people have kids. The argument goes on and on, but I think Panini might be making a mistake here with Adrenaline. Although the game was entertaining, it's not going to get me to go back there day after day, although I am 28 years old, and I'm not in that demographic where sitting down and playing video games most of the day really excite me. Although, after I'm done with this show, I will be playing MLB The Show 10. I'm really excited. I haven't played in a couple days. My brother's laughing in the background, but I'm not going to cut this show short or anything, but I am saying I'm highly anticipating playing MLB The Show once I'm done recording here and mixing it down and everything. So, but a little off topic there, as we usually get on this show, but no big deal. We'll be back after this short break. We're going to bring my brother on, and he will be talking to you about Bowman Sterling baseball again. If you missed it, our box break will be soon. Our baseball box break will be soon. I think it's full, or it's very close to full. Is it full, Ryan? I got my super producer Ryan here. It's not full. I think there's a handful of teams left. So if you listen to this show, the Nationals are not taken. And
I don't know if they are or not.
I don't know if they're taking it. Excuse me, my brother gives me conflicting information. Some producer that we have up here on the side, we don't even this is why we don't even mic him up, is because he says the Nationals are not taken, and then his and then I report that on air in his next 6 minutes, is they might not be taken. Yeah. So you might want to check on that over at the Sports Card Radio fan forum. This segment is completely falling apart, so we better break it out of here. After this short break, all you eBay sellers, all you guys that definitely sell cards and you know, looking to make a little bit of money online, this is an idea that you probably have seen and you probably have already come up with. And I know we've talked about it a little bit on this show before, several times I've talked about this, but we will be talking about how to make a little bit of money off a product, like taking a product that we purchased for a box break. It's a perfect example of you can make a small profit. And we'll talk about that after this.
Yeah, this is living. Look for love and never dance. That's your worth keeping. Swallow whole in negatives. It's so sad and sickening.
Brother Ryan from sportscardreport.info. Why don't you say hello to everybody, Ryan?
How you doing? It was great watching you get worked at Adrenaline yesterday on the internet. Some kid had his stack deck with LeBron. He probably had Dwight Howard, and he was just, I mean, did he take all your cards? What happened there?
No, I wasn't playing for stacks because I knew my one good card, Kobe, would be taken. So I definitely wasn't playing for any cards. I think my second best player was like Andre Blatch, and I think his second best player, or actually his fifth best player, was probably LeBron. So that can tell you a little bit about his deck and why I get worked. But I obviously need to go work on my Panini codes. But I did want to bring it back to the last segment. I don't know if I mentioned it. March 31st, Panini Classics Basketball is the release date on that. So if you're looking for that product, wait till the end of the month, March 31st, full checklist, everything. sportscardradio.com. But we have my brother on the show today to talk about kind of what we used to do. I remember our small apartment, not that actually our apartment has gotten progressively smaller, as maybe that has a determinant of our success in recent years, but our apartment's gotten progressively smaller. But in a couple apartments ago, we had a small closet that was filled with basically basketball cards. I remember a lot of 2003, 2004 Topps Finest. There was a lot of, I remember SP Signature Golf, and there was quite a few other products in there, and a lot of them were broken down the way 2009 Bowman Sterling Baseball is. And basically, I have some stats on this, and I will break it down in terms of what you were going to pay for it. It came out actually back in January, and it at the wholesale level, or almost factory direct level, if you were buying it 1 to 3 boxes, it was going to cost you $221 for a 6-pack box with one box loader. So there's 6 mini boxes and one box loader per box, so it was costing you $221 for 1 to 3 boxes. If you bought 4 to 7 boxes, you would have gotten about a $4 to $5 discount and got it for $217. 8-box cases
were running you about $213 a box. However, as we often talk about on this show, prices move up and down very quickly, and the retailers, they purchase this product at around this price, right around the $190 to $220, $230 range for a box. And so they're sitting on this product at that price, whereas there's plenty of people on eBay that might have given up. And so you can find boxes on eBay of this exact same product in the $165 to $170 range. So it's come down about $30 to $40 a box since its release, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Sometimes products are a little overpriced, or the checklists aren't quite as sexy as collectors have come to used to in the past, of maybe especially a product like Bowman Sterling. So those kind of things factor in. Now, here is where you can make some money, and I'll bring my brother in to discuss the methods on how to do that.
Well, what would you do is you'd take a box like Bowman Sterling that has the six mini boxes and the one box loader. And we're not talking about a lot of money here. You know, you'd have to have a lot of money to make money. You might as well become a dealer if you, you know, were going to do that. But if you want some money on the side, if you want maybe like a free pack to open or a free box to open every now and then.
Right, and I also have down here, it's also a good way to cross-sell to your other auctions, considering that some of your single cards may not get searched on because collectors may want that card, but they may not want it until they actually see it in someone's auction list or they see it in the search result. So oftentimes a great way to cross-sell single cards is bring traffic, bring visitors, bring customers to yourself by selling hotter baseball products that tend to get, these mini boxes get quite a few bids, and so do the hobby boxes. They get quite a few bids, so it's collectible stuff. And if you start at a low price, you'll get tons of people clicking on your auction and taking a look at your other auctions, which is, if you only make, if say even if you lose a little bit of money on this product, you might have some duels. Maybe somebody buys a mini box and buys a single card because he can get free shipping then. It's all kinds of ways you can think about this other than the straight money breakdown. Although with the box loader in a product like this, you might actually be able to churn a profit if you bought it on eBay. We're not talking the $221 and $230. I mean, at this point, you're really eating a loss unless this product tends to go back up.
So what you would do is, you know, you could buy a box of Sterling right now on eBay, maybe for a full box for about $165, maybe $170 in that range. So you get the six mini boxes and one box loader. Let's say after all your fees and everything, it looks like you can maybe make about $30 a box on these mini boxes. So that's $180 right there. Boom, you just paid for your box. And then plus the box loader, you could either sell, maybe open. If it looks like maybe it's a big thick card or something in there, you could open it up. You can get $10 for those usually. So you just bought, you know, a box for $165, and even after all your fees, you probably came out about $20. So obviously you're gonna have to be doing this. If you want to make any kind of money, you're going to have to be doing this with several different products week after week. But let's say, hey, maybe you have a few $100, but you don't want to go the full route and bust the whole box, but you want to get some Bowman Sterling. You could buy a full box, you know, sell five of the mini boxes, and then boom, you have a mini box and a box loader maybe for like $5 or $10. And that's a deal right there, because you know what your mini boxes are going to be selling for. They're going to be selling for $30 or $40. This Bowman Sterling stuff is a little bit on the high end. We used to do it back in the day with Topps Finest. It's probably the best in all sports. And then also Donruss Classics Football was really good. We used to get 03-04 Topps Finest Basketball for $55 a box, and that came with three mini boxes. This was Braun, Wade, Melo, Darko Milicic, who people thought was going to be
good. I think we got it even cheaper than that. I think that we've got it for like, I think at times we bought like multiple boxes for about $39 a box.
The price
of, 03-04. Topps Finest Basketball, we would get it in the $39-$40 range. It kept going. A product like that, I don't know what happened there, but I think there was some dumpage. It didn't sell out or something happened, and a product like that went down and down. Same with 2005. Topps Finest Football was another product that went down and down and down, and you could really break it out fairly well on eBay at those times because all the mass retailers were still pricing it out at full hobby box price, which was well and above. People were pricing full hobby boxes what people just were not paying that kind of price. It was like two or three times the price what people were paying. So it's an interesting way to do it.
It is. The Topps Finest Football, I remember even in 2005, had a box loader. So, and I bet you could still get those cheap now. I mean, 2005 wasn't a great rookie class. You might even still be, this is a guess, get those boxes maybe for $40 or $50, and you could probably still chop it up. And those boxes are real easy to ship. You know, you could charge $4.99 shipping, send them first class, make money on your shipping, and come out that way. You know, it could give you a few extra cards. You know, if you like buying single cards, like Colin said, it'll draw attention to your auctions. If you have some single cards on there, it'll kind of draw people to your eBay store because there's a lot of people on there looking for boxes that will find you that are normally not going to look for you. There are not that many people selling boxes on eBay. It's a lot of the big time people. There's not a whole lot of kind of smaller people selling boxes. So if you've got good feedback, this might be a way to go. If you're looking to get, you know, maybe a deal on something and kind of split it up and get some free cards, or maybe make $50, $100 a week for some extra gas money or food money, it is a way to go. You can do it. I wish we still had the Excel spreadsheets, because I would post them on our website to show you. We broke it all the way down from shipping to eBay fees to PayPal fees to everything associated with buying and selling that box. We broke it down and actually calculated how much money you made. I don't know.
Right, it wasn't much. I would say it was right around the 10% range because eBay was going to take their 10%. And there's obviously some fees associated with doing business, like packaging, supplies, and all those other things, and refunds and things like that. And I think in the grand scheme of things, we found that we were making 10% sitting in our living room, making a phone call once every 2 weeks to a distributor. So it was actually you know, pretty easy work. It wasn't a lot of money, but I think it's for somebody that's already in the game. I think somebody that has maybe a large single card selection, and then maybe wants to branch out into other options, maybe more regular income, because if you have a big baseball collection or maybe even a big football collection and it's not in season, maybe people aren't paying or definitely not searching as much for the cards, and they might not even be paying as much for the cards because they're more interested in other product. And so these are the kind of things that can maybe tide you over. Definitely not buy you a Mercedes C-Class or anything like that. But again, we're talking $165 to $170 a box, and we calculated it out here. If you could make, on average, I saw that most sold in the $30 or $40 range with shipping. So if you, on average, made about $28 to $30 a mini box, you know, you're covering your costs there, and that's fairly good. And if you sell that one box loader for maybe 10, I saw most of them sell in the $10 to $15 range, and those don't cost really much at all to ship. So yeah, maybe you only make $10 on a $165 investment, but that's fairly good online. And when you really break this down, you're actually buying something off eBay and then reselling it. So there's very few things that you can do that. And we would do that on occasion as well. And so this is one of those rare opportunities where you can potentially buy a box on eBay and then probably sell it and more than likely break even, maybe make a few dollars, or definitely end up with one of the mini boxes for a slightly discounted price. So if that was something you were interested in, we didn't take that route. We're kind of out of that game. We did that for many years and it was exciting and it was fun. But it's a lot of work for very small premiums. But if you're into this single card game, you know all about that. You know all about large volume with very small margins, and this is kind of goes along that same line. So it takes some creativity. You're definitely going to want to have your shipping streamlined and all your supplies and your boxes and cheap ways to package stuff. I think we were the masters of that, packaging things and finding ways to buy boxes very inexpensively, so the overhead cost was extremely small. So anything else, any tips you got out there, Ryan, for maybe guys that are on there now or are thinking about getting into selling?
You're going to want to do a lot of research. You know, you're going to want to track pricing. eBay only goes back on their website, I want to say, 2 weeks or 14 days. So you're going to want to track pricing for a little while. Set up a little sheet, write it down, do whatever you need to do. Pick out some products that you think, you know what you can get it for. You know what price you can buy it for. Then now you're going to want to get on eBay and track the price, you know, what it's selling for, and then also calculate all the fees. I'm out of the loop of what eBay's charging now. I know it's, you know, like Colin said, it ends up being they take about 10%, 8 to 10% of whatever the final sale price is. You're going to factor in that shipping. Usually you can make a couple bucks on that shipping, which helps offset your PayPal fees and your eBay fees. To get started with something like this, to be perfectly honest, I would go get yourself a little resale kind of tax ID business license at your local little government site. You're going to have to look on your own local government website to find it. Usually you can pick one up for 30 bucks, 50 bucks. That will get you in the door to call these distributors that you have to have. You have to have that tax ID number to buy from them and buy from them tax-free. So like a Global Sales Wholesale, is Peach State?
Peach State. There's quite a few other ones.
There's quite a few different ones, but this will get you into the door with them. You'll be able to get to see their pricing. To be honest, it's not. You're not going to be blown away. They're not going to be like 50 bucks lower than Blowout, and you're like, you know, wetting your pants over this. We're talking about very minimal price differences between Blowout, DA, the distributors. Kind of all. They're all kind of in the same bag and floating in the same boat. In a sense. So, but you're going to be able to shop around now instead of just looking on eBay, looking on Blowout, looking on some of these ones that you know about. Now it's going to open up to these doors to people, you know, before you had this business license, you couldn't buy from, or at least at the wholesale level, you couldn't buy from. I know Global Sales, they'd handle a retail and then they have a wholesale side, and a lot of these companies do that. I know even DA has a deal where you can kind of get in and get a little better deals on some stuff. So, these are things you're going to want to check out. If you're into the hobby and maybe you know you want to make a couple bucks on the side, maybe you want some free cards, maybe you just want to try it out and see what works. I would get that business license for 30 bucks, and then a lot of these bigger distributors are going to have a $300 minimum order to get the free shipping, which you're going to want to take advantage of. You don't want to pay $10 to have them ship boxes to you. That $10 is going to eat into your cost. Blowout, and I know these guys have $150 free shipping deals, which, you know, if you're on a more limited budget, you can take advantage of them if you want to go their route. But they're selling on eBay too. So you really got to look around at all these different places. How can you take a box and chop it up like a Finest, like a Bowman Sterling? Maybe it's an older box. I wrote on my blog about 1996-97 Topps Finest basketball retail. Not the hobby boxes. The hobby boxes I probably still sell for like 70 to 120 bucks or whatever they are. The retail boxes we used to buy back in the day for 20 bucks each. I think there were like, I don't know, 12 packs and 3 cards per pack. You hardly got any cards, but they're only 20 bucks each. And we sold these boxes for, I think usually we at least got 40 or 50 bucks for them. I know when Kobe hit the 81-point game, we got 160 or 107. And these boxes were just on fire, and we actually made real money. When you're selling a box and making $100 on that box, that's real money. And you know, it's not like there was intensive labor involved in putting that box on eBay either. We all know.
Speak for yourself. I was the one that probably went to the post office and.
Yeah, I was kicking back playing, what was it, MLB 2003 or whatever it was back in the day. I'm sure on PlayStation 2. So. We're not talking about a lot of money to get involved, to kind of get us back here. We're not talking about a lot of money to get involved. Probably less than $500, you can get to your door a whole bunch of product, excuse me, that's going to take you, you know, probably a couple weeks just to unload on its own. You're going to want to do 5 to 7 day auctions, make your shipping affordable. Make sure your feedback is good. Make sure you communicate about the product. That's what I hate. When I was searching on eBay to buy this box for this contest, nobody describes the product on eBay. They just put the picture of the box, and then a lot of times they just say, top Sterling box or check out my other auctions. No commentary on the product, what you can get, here's how it's configured, these are the players in the set, these are the rookie cards you can get. You know, say, hey, a couple weeks ago, this card, you can get this card that sold for several hundred bucks on eBay. It might entice people to buy. You've got to encourage people to buy your product. And the more you pimp your product, the more you're going to stand out, because 99% of these guys on eBay just throw their thing up on some kind of feed and don't spend the time on their actually describing their auctions and making their page look nice.
Right, and I think that kind of set us apart as well. We noticed when we were selling, obviously we weren't the only ones that knew about this, and we weren't the only ones that were doing it. But maybe our auctions stood out a little. I know we had some lower, much lower shipping fees back in those days for international shipping. A lot of our shipping was going international, so a guy couldn't get a box over there, was willing to pay $10 more for it if he had an option to ship it to him. So those are things you want to keep in mind, especially with basketball, since it's such an international game. Shipping basketball international is a great idea to try to boost some money there. Obviously, you want to look into that and make sure you ship priority, so you can't ship cheaply these days any longer. You used to be able to just ship first class anywhere and not really worry about on eBay, but with these days, you really need to ship with a delivery confirmation or some kind of tracking number with anything that you sell, even small dollar items. So those are the kind of things that you want to take a look at if you're into selling, if you're into making money, little ways to make money. Even if you're not, if you're just a collector, these are some things to, this is a great example of a product that came out right at the direct level, was $220 a box. So at the retail level is probably in the $230-$240 range. And here it is selling a couple months later for about $70 less. So those are things you want to keep in mind as you're buying and you're spending large amounts of money on some of this product. You know, it does move up and down, and there are ways to take advantage of both those things. When a product tanks, sometimes that's the best time to make money on it online. So that about wraps it up for what I got. You got anything else, Ryan?
Not really. I mean, if you guys ever had more specific questions, you can always contact us. We will, you know, break it down for you and help you. If you ever wanted to sell anything on eBay or know anything, you know, we've worked in hobby shops. We've sold on eBay for over 10 years now, and I think eBay's only been around since 1999. So, I mean, we've kind of on the ground floor of eBay. I remember before there was a My eBay. You would buy something on eBay, and it would just kind of go into the stratosphere of the internet, and you'd have to go find it, contact the guy, somehow work out some kind of payment deal. He'd send you his address. You'd work it all out. It was like kind of a Craigslist.
It was more like Craigslist. It was, a lot of it was done through email. That's how you found out if you actually won something, if you didn't actually like bookmark the auction or something like that. And a lot of the payment was definitely much less streamlined. There was a lot more through the mail, mailing a money order, going and getting a money order, and waiting for your cards and things like that. It was far different. I remember when I first started, right around, I think I was like 18 or I think I might have even been 17 years old when I was first on eBay. So very interesting, very interesting. You definitely want to contact us if you have any questions. We'll give you an unbiased. I'll give you as many links as I know of where you can find more information. You will not be competing with me. I have no products to sell you. Although I wish I did have some more of that 0304 Finest for whatever we were getting it at, because those are worth a lot, and those 96, 97 Finest boxes are worth a lot. But, you know, you move on, you make money, and you move on. So, you know, if you have any questions, if you, you know, see anything yourselves, or if you want to know places to buy wholesale, there's definitely a link on our website. There's an entire article on where to buy wholesale cards, and there'll be a link to the show, to that article, so you'll be able to find it there as well. That about wraps this segment up. We'll come back, kind of break things down, wrap this show up. It's a long one, so we'll wrap it up, and we'll be back after this. We'll be right back.
are back. Time to wrap things up. Show's pushing an hour long already, so that usually is the cue to stop because the computer starts getting a little slow and sometimes is a little tricky to upload when they get this long. So we'll make this tight and wrap things up. Be on the lookout for our next podcast. It'll be about Upper Deck Exquisite Football. There's photos. There's all kinds of things. I'm not excited to buy this stuff because I don't have the money, but I'm excited to see what people are willing to pay for some of these single cards and boxes. And we'll have some box break videos up on the site and all that. Thanks for everybody that sent me an email this week. Got caught quite a few emails and got caught up. I think if you've sent me an email and I haven't gotten back to you, I never got back to you, just resend it to me or contact me again, because if it gets buried, I might not be able to find it again. But I think I got all caught up with everybody that had contacted me, so I appreciate that. Send me an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com, if you want to hear anything on the show, any topics, any about anything. It doesn't matter how silly or small or whatever you think it is. It will make it onto the show. So we're going to be doing these once a week, maybe more than that. So we'll have plenty of things to talk about. I don't know how we talked about Topps Finest, Panini Classics, and how to sell mini boxes on eBay for an hour, but we managed to do so, so we better wrap it up. Taking much of your time already. Thanks again for joining us. Join us again for the next show. Send us an email, sportscardshow@gmail.com, and please support us by visiting our website, sportscardradio.com. Thank you very much. We're out of here.